welcome to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. This week on the show, it's a very, very special episode. We have got the wonderful Perry of the band Pendulum on the show, and this is probably easily the biggest band we will ever have on the show. I hope not. I hope we get big bands, but this is a fucking huge band to have on the show. So I want to shout out to Perry specifically for two reasons. Firstly, for checking his Instagram and just being active and replying to this little old podcast. Secondly, for coming on. And thirdly, for being an absolute gent. This is a fantastic conversation. We get into everything Pendulum, how he joined the band, recording, playing live, everything they've got going on. Absolutely insane. My life is mental. I love doing this job. Thank you for listening. I'm just going to shut up and let you listen to this conversation with Perry of the band Pendulum. Let's fucking go. Hi guys, welcome to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this week on the show, we've got a very special guest. This is probably the biggest guest we'll ever have on the show. And I'm absolutely thrilled to say we've got the guitarist of the band Pendulum, Perry, on the line. How are we doing, sir?
Fine, thank you, Matt. How are you?
I am absolutely shitting a brick, but no, I'm all good.
It's all right. I don't bite.
I'm all good. I'm
not
all
on
good.
A first date anyway.
Oh, lovely stuff. That's all right then. We're going to talk all about Pendulum and your life in general as a musician and things like that. And we're going to get straight into it. So I wanted to know, what was your kind of childhood like in terms of a musician? When did you first pick up a guitar? When did you first fall in love with music?
Well, both my parents played guitar. So there was guitars around the house. So that's how I picked it up. There was one in the corner. I just picked it up and started making a noise on it. The first song I ever learned to play on guitar was Mull of Kintyre. I asked my mum, so mum, could you teach me some chords? And she taught me Mull of Kintyre. And it's quite easy, it's only two chords or three even. And so Mull of Kintyre by Wings was the first thing I ever learned to play. So thank you, Paul McCartney, and thank you, mum.
Absolutely.
So so there was always guitars around the gaff, and it was good. They were acoustic guitars. And when I was about 13, I got an electric guitar for Christmas and a little practice amp, so and that was it.
And you were away from there. Absolutely love that. Because if I've got my my facts and things correct, you grew up in South Wales, right?
That's right. I was born near Cardiff.
Cardiff, amazing.
A place called Pontypool. Well, it was near Newport, really. And then I moved further west and ended up in Pembrokeshire. Lived in various places and ended up in Pembrokeshire. Then I moved to London when I was 18 to do music in university.
Amazing stuff. So my question is, how on earth does a young man from Wales end up being in one of the biggest drum and bass / rock bands in the world in Pendulum? How does that come about?
I've no idea.
I love that.
It's kind of happened. It's like everything in my career. So I started off as as I said, I studied music in uni, and it was a more of a traditional classical course, but with elements of modern music, as in post 1945 classical music, which involved lots of electronic music.
Of course,
Studio in there's an old electronic music studio in the music wing, so I used that quite a lot. Learned to use computers and. And after that, and I studied kind of jazz guitar. I wasn't very good at jazz guitar, but I went down that route just to kind of get my head around it, because you had to do certain modules for instruments and practical stuff. So I did the jazz guitar route. And from then I went on, after I graduated, I started doing sessions. My old guitar teacher put me up for a couple of bands, and it kind of went from there, really. And the first big thing I ever did was a singer called Natalie Imbruglia back in 1997.
Wow, that's really cool.
So I joined Natalie's band. It wasn't really an audition. My mate Chuck Sabo He's just an amazing drummer. He's played with Elton John, Tina Turner, Chaka Khan, bloody everybody. And he was asked to put a band together by the record company. And he got me in, and my brother, and another guitarist called Chester Kamen. Chester played, he's played with everybody. He's played with Gilmour, David Gilmour. He's played with Roger Waters, both yeah. factions of the Floyd.
Amazing. Yeah.
And he's played with Madonna, played with Brian Ferry, Roxy Music. He's one of the top session guitarists on the planet.
Amazing.
And so we all went into the studio, into rehearsal studio, met Natalie, and just bashed through some songs, and that was it. So, and that was like 3 weeks before a song called Torn came out. So if any of your younger listeners, Torn was like one of the biggest hits.
If no one doesn't know Torn, stop this podcast and go and listen to that song. It's incredible.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's Torn was in 97, 98 and 99, probably when it was played songs on the radio worldwide. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It didn't get number one in the UK, but it did get to number one in America. It was number one in the Billboard charts for 10 weeks. Weirdly enough, when I first heard the song, I got a promo copy of the single on CD. And I listened to it. I thought, yeah, I might get 3 months' work out of this. You know, and 9 years as working.
So
don't ever employ me as an A&R man, because I have no fucking idea. Absolutely no idea. If you play me a song, whether it's going to be a hit or not, it's just useless. Yeah. I can play guitar, but because A&Ring is a talent to itself, you know. So it's knowing if something's going to be a hit or not. So
I
did 9 years with Nat. Then stopped working with Natalie, and then I kind of went and joined Pendulum, because I'd played on being a session guitarist at that point, I'd played on a few records, quite a few records, and quite a few TV stuff, and I'd played with a producer called DJ Fresh, with his he had a drum and bass band called Bad Company, not Bad Company, the classic rock band. They're called BC UK now, because I think they had a couple of problems with the name. And they were huge back in the day. So I played on some of their records, and Dan told me that, he had this little indie label. Indie dance label, drum and bass really, and he just signed this these guys from Australia called Pendulum, and asked if I'd be willing to play on their record, on their first album. So, and that was it. I got the call, went up to, they had a flat in Barnet at the time, and I went there and just put some guitar down on these recordings.
Yeah.
And didn't think of anything. This is back in 2004, and I just didn't think about it. And then a mate of mine said, "Oh, you remember that band Pendulum you recorded for?" And I went, "Yeah." "Oh, that album sold 400,000 copies." I said, "You what? Hey, it's drum and bass. It's not supposed to sell 400,000 copies, but it had."
Yeah.
So, and then the guys got in touch again, and we decided to do it live. So we did. The first live gig was in Fabric in London, this club in London, and that was in October 2006. And then I kind of joined full time after that. I put the session stuff to the wayside, and I wanted to change anyway. So and from then I just joined Pendulum. It's a bit of a gamble, because you know I'm doing okay. And then I just joined a band. I always told myself, "No, I'm not going to join a band. I'm just going to do sessions for the rest of my life." Then I ditched the sessions and started with Pendulum. It was the right choice, I'd imagine.
And that's the thing. Where I kind of jumped on the Pendulum train was the second record, Insolio, which, you know, that. So Propane Nightmares was literally unescapable as, you know, as a teenager in high school when that song dropped. So to in my kind of estimations of it, looking back at it, kind of Hold Your Colour was kind of like, oh, this underground thing. It was not an underground thing. Whether it's down to 400,000 copies, a lot of music to shift in 2005.
Yeah.
So like it was kind of what, there was a massive step up in terms of sound from the first record to the second record in terms of just like pure power. And you know, I do give that credit to yourself and to Gareth as well, in terms of just the actual just thump in the mix, if that makes sense, of the guitars and things.
Yeah, for, in Silico, it became a lot more guitar orientated and a lot more, because everybody in the band, all five of us, is a metalhead. And it was originally a metalhead, with, and we've all had electronic music influences from various things. But we're metalheads, really. And then in Silico, that, it was very obvious in Silico that happened. And and after that, it kind of became more, well, with the guitar riffs on top of the synths, it became more radio friendly.
And, yeah, of course.
And also became a big crossover.
Yeah.
We crossed over into the metal market, which was something we didn't think we'd be able to do, but we got offered Download. Andy Copping, who runs Download Festival, he's a big fan of the band. Mm-hmm. and he offered us a slot on the second stage in 2008, I think it was 2008, and we were on just after Ace Frehley,
right?
So, you know, from Kiss.
Yeah.
It was mid-afternoon, something like that. And I saw Ace Frehley walking down the stairs after he finished his set, and I'm going, bloody hell, that's Ace Frehley from Kiss.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, then we went on stage, and you know, the reputation that Download's got, well, since it was Monsters of Rock, you know, of bottles of piss being thrown. and yeah, because... Yeah, metalheads like to piss in bottles and throw them for some reason.
They do indeed.
And so we were on stage, and because we're still a drum and bass band, you know, with guitars. And we were cacking ourselves a little bit before going on stage. And we all kind of huddled and had a bit of a chat. And so, I remember saying, okay, worst case scenario, somebody flings a bottle of piss on us.
Yeah.
It lands in your face and piss goes into your mouth. What are you going to do? You're going to walk off stage or carry on playing? And we all went, carry on playing. Good, let's do a gig. So we went on stage and did the gig. No bottles of piss chucked at us. At one point, I counted 9 circle bits.
Amazing.
And we were like,
that's the thing. I think that because you've just got that massive punch, and that's all metalhead really look for, is that kind of that low end and the guitars and the bass and everything else. So just, it makes perfect sense, to be honest, you know.
Yeah, well, and after that, after Downloads, we did a load of other rock and metal festivals around the world. You know, we did literally everywhere. We even headlined metal festivals in Austria. You know, there's a huge festival called Nova Rock in Austria. We headlined that. There's a bunch of them, and the metal community really, welcomed us, which is bloody brilliant, because we're all bloody metalheads in the band, you know. So
absolutely.
So we were very happy, and we're doing Download this year as well, doing the 20th
anniversary. I was about to say you're flying down again. That's going to be a real special day.
It's going to be great. We're just really lucky, because we're lucky that we're that type of band. We could do dance festivals, electronic festivals, metal festivals, pop festivals like Glastonbury and when V was. Was
about
around. So we could do the Radio One festivals, you know, we could do all of them, but they're from the most extreme to the most poppy, which we're really, really lucky, you know. So
some would say that you've cracked the code.
God knows how. We didn't set out to crack it, it just kind of happened, you know. We're just very lucky, you know, stuff like that. Doesn't, you know, you could have the biggest will in the world, and it's not going to happen if you know it's all by chance, really.
Yeah.
It's one guy in Radio One said, "Oh, I like that song. Put Prop in it. Yeah. Let's play that. Let's put that on the playlist." And Greg James got hold of it, and it just went mainstream after that. Greg put something out. He put a clip on Twitter of him rocking out to.
Nice.
To Prop Nightmares, and it's ballistic after that. So we've got a lot to thank Greg for, and people like definitely Zane Lowe, and all these DJs that decided to play our record. You know?
I love that.
Yeah, it's just by chance, and
it'd
be the right song at the right time.
I mean, there is an element to chance. I totally agree, but also there is a level of absolute craft and songwriting that goes behind that, because you know you could create the most mediocre meat and potatoes song in the world and have chance and luck on your side, you know, and then it gets massive. But the fact is that you guys have created a really, really strong, dedicated fan base, but also just basically put some massively big tunes out there into the world, you know. So
it's also, you know, I've heard songs that are absolutely amazing. I haven't done anything, you know. It all depends on the mood of the listener, and I mean the listener as the record buying public. It used to be the record buying public. Now the Spotify listening public.
Yeah.
It all depends on the mood. If the tangent is just slightly off, you won't make it.
Yeah,
and we were just lucky, you know, that we were, you know, it just worked for us. You know? We were very lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to talk a little bit about the live show as well that you guys put on, because, you know, a lot of bands live and breathe and die on their live show, and Pendulum is literally no exception to that, even probably more so. How on earth and how quickly does it turn around? So say, for example, I said to you, I want to book Pendulum in like a month's time. How quickly is that turnaround? Because there are so many elements that go into your live show, from the visual graphics to the actual just getting the instruments on stage, getting the guys together, getting the crew together. It's a whole operation.
I mean, the only thing is, if we're free, it's just flying KJ or a drummer over from Las Vegas, and that's it. Because everything's set up, you know, like with any band, it doesn't take months to bring the set together. You know, it's... we've just got a brand new stage set and brand new video screens, you know, and they're ready to go for the festivals, you know. So it's like it all depends on how quickly we can fly KJ over from the stage.
Well, there we go then. That's, I mean, I've got the money in the bank, that's all I'm saying. Let's make it
50 quid.
50 quid, nice. I'll even chuck in I don't know, a few Mars bars or something in there. So you've just played Alexandra Palace in London, massive show. I've seen the clips on YouTube. I couldn't unfortunately make it, which is heartbreaking beyond belief. But how was that show? How was playing live for you guys? How do you kind of feel beforehand and during?
That was great, because we were supposed to be doing two nights at Brixton, but with the problems that Brixton Academy's been having over the last few months, it's closed until April, I think, and then they're reviewing the license again in April.
For sure.
So obviously that's 3 months of gigs in Brixton have been cancelled. So we had to find a new venue. So, and because we had two nights sold out in Brixton, the best thing for us to do was consolidate both nights.
Yeah,
and do one night in Alexandra Palace.
Yeah,
because Brixton's the biggest theatre in London. It's a 5,000 capacity theatre, and you can't go to another theatre and do two nights. Because there's nowhere. I think the closest one in size to it is
Hammersmith. I was going to say,
and that's 3,500.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're losing out of it. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's 3,000 people that won't be able to go, and you just can't do that. So, okay,
yeah, of course.
And it's probably booked with some comedian anyway. But so the best thing that we could do was consolidate both nights and do it in Alexandra Palace. Some people were disappointed because they couldn't, because they booked the Monday and they couldn't make it on the Sunday, so they got their money back. And it was either that or do no gig.
Yeah,
cancel the whole bloody lot. But yeah, but it was still sold. Ali Pali was still sold out. 11,000 people. It was pretty insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest floor area, floor space in the UK for standing, because there's no seating there at all. It's just standing. And the closest place is one of the arenas in Birmingham, the one in town. But yeah, so it was 11,000 just standing. So it was just a wall.
Just one massive dance floor / mosh pit.
jobs moshing from front to the back. And it's like, oh my God. Yeah, so we've got a brand new stage set and a brand new light show, brand new visuals. We've got like, 5, 6, 7 video screens on stage, and sort of, kind of you look at it and it looks like looks like we're inside a TV.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's quite 3D. How the video screens are set up, because they're staggered on the stage. So if you look in, it's got depth to it,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. So it's if people listening haven't seen it, go on to the Pendulum Instagram account or my account at PerryGuitar666 and just check it out there, and it's fucking nuts.
the pictures look pretty insane. They never do it justice 9 times out of 10. No. Pictures and things seeing it live.
So that was our first gig. We're not doing another show until Downloads the next one, so we're
yeah of course
one. Yeah, it was amazing, and the audience loved it, which is good.
Yeah,
it's always a plus point when the crowd likes it.
But absolutely, and
they went insane. It was just so cool.
Do you have any particular songs that you like really enjoy playing live? I mean, it's like asking to pick which is your favorite child, but you know, you get my point.
Tempest for me,
because you haven't played that in a long time.
We played it for the first time in 13 years.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
On Sunday in Alexandra Palace, because it was various issues that we had with it,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of just forgot about it. But it's a fan favorite, and absolutely. We'd only played it once with KJ joined the band in 2010, and we'd only played it once, and that was in Wembley, I think it was just the once, and in Wembley Arena, and so but loads of people have been asking for it since, and we just hadn't rehearsed it for ages. It's an 8-minute long song. It needs a bit of rehearsal, because it was that one, and there's another song called Encoder that we haven't done for a long time, about the same length of time, but since 2011, I think. And Encoder was, we did that again for the first time in 12 years or something. And it was nice playing those two songs again, because, you know,
just not played them for so long. Yeah.
And it's just when we start playing the opening riffs of both of those songs, you know, the audience just went wild. And it's it's the right choice playing these
right again. Right choice, major, absolutely. So when you play live and play on record, do you use many effects, or is it more just pure guitar driven when you actually perform? I know Rob has lots of you only use effects. Okay, fair.
I don't use an amp.
Okay, amazing.
I use how technical do you want me to get?
You can go. We can geek out for a minute. I'm gonna learn a lot in a minute. It's fine. It's all good.
Because I use a Line 6 Helix.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amp simulator and effects.
Okay.
So I used to use a Hughes and Kettner setup, and I love Hughes and Kettner. But at the minute, we're just it was for ease of use, because we did a thing called Trinity 2 years ago, which is like a hybrid DJ live thing. So I was playing live guitar, Rob was singing, and Gareth and Rob were DJing. So it was like DJ live hybrid, and to do that, I couldn't do that with an amp, so I was using the Helix anyway just for effects, but I'd start using it for amp sounds as well. So just because ease of use, getting, you couldn't get an amp on to the stages that we were playing, because it was amazing. Quite compact, because we were on a platform quite high up, and you know, so there just wouldn't have been any room for a guitar. So started using just my Helix, and then we because previously we had problems doing fly gigs, flying away, because you got a guitar amp, even though my guitar amp was quite small. Yeah, it was quite difficult to get stuff over to a different country. We just wanted to do this time around as easy as possible. So it's all I use is just one pedal board.
Amazing.
So I've got a flight case, and it's a Line 6 Helix, and it's got various things in effects loops, and I just use that. So it's just one thing on the floor. Well, it's actually off stage now, because we've got a clean stage. And so no amplifier on stage at all. So we all use in-ears, in-ear monitoring. So we just don't need one anymore. And a lot of bands are doing that now. It's, don't get me wrong, I love amplifiers, and I love valve amps especially. I've got 9 of them in this room.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one right there. I got my Hughes and Kettner in my rack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use that quite a lot still. But I've got loads of amps.
To be honest, your conversation about amps reminds me very similarly of my other half when I talk about podcasting gear. She's like, you don't need any more things. And I'm like, yes, I do. This is a new thing.
Yeah, exactly. N+1, isn't it? N+1. It's, there's, but I haven't switched on an Amplify Live since New Year's Eve 2018.
Oh, amazing. Wow. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm just all for the amp simulation at the minute, and it works. Yeah,
I love that. So I wanted to talk briefly as well about Reading Festival 2022, because you guys performed a secret set at Reading.
Yeah.
And it's well known amongst my podcast listeners that my favorite band of all time is Enter Shikari. Right. So when you guys performed Sorry You're Not a Winner remixed with Raoul Reynolds, what I want to know is there any opportunity that we're sitting down to hear that in a live studio setting, or is it purely just a one-off, had to be there moment?
I think it's just a one-off, because they're off touring, we're off touring.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we used to do a lot of gigs together back in the day.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, we used to cross paths all the time, and Raoul used to live up near Gareth, our bass player.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of knew each other anyway, and just had this idea last year.
So good.
Let's see if Rao wants to come and join us on stage, and Rao said yes, and because they were doing Reading the same day on the same day as us.
Yeah, of course.
And he said, "Hey, mate, fancy doing this?" He went, "Yeah, right." So we Rob the singer with Pendulum remixed it, and then we just did a live version of it.
Yeah, love
Rao that. Rao came on and totally fucking rocked it. It was amazing. Yeah, we had so much fun. Yeah,
and that's the thing as well. They're quite prone to like playing a song and then being like, "Nope, we're gonna remix it." So it made like the perfect sense having you two together.
Yeah, I mean, like we've done various things like that in the past. Like we did various live lounge things. Like we did covered Violet Hill by Coldplay. We did, oh god, what's that Calvin Harris song that we did in Glaston? We just do these songs once and that's it. You know,
one off. Nice.
Make sure there's cameras in front of us, and we and you know, the Calvin Harris song that we did in Glastonbury in 2009, that just went ballistic for us.
Yeah,
because nobody was expecting it. Mm-hmm. And that was a big hit at the time, and you know, we sped it up and did 174 beats per minute and did a drum and bass version of it, and I think we played on the Friday in Glastonbury, and that was the one song that got requested most. So they were playing it all the way through. You know, when there was a gap between bands on TV, they were just playing. They kept on playing that. That was amazing for us, you know, because it was. That got us properly mainstream,
for sure.
Is it, you know, the world and his wife knew about us after that weekend in Glastonbury. You know? In Glastonbury, you don't get the fee isn't that much, but you know, people just do it because it's Glastonbury and because the exposure that you get, and the exposure we got from just covering that song, doing a remix, was just insane. You know? Yeah, people still talk about it now. You know, it's just it was very cool for us.
I love that. And something that I wanted to talk about as well was the fact that in the live set for the Ali Pali show, there was a couple of new tracks. Can you talk a little bit about those, or is that part of a bigger thing, or what's the deal?
No, I can go talk about it. We did three new tracks actually. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Colourfast. Colourfast was the one we debuted in Reading, mm-hmm. Reading Leeds. There's one called Halo.
Yeah.
And there's one called Guiding Lights. Mm. And Halo has got Mr. Matt Tuck.
Yes, indeed.
From Bullet. So yeah, it's a Bullet's another one of those bands that we always cross paths with, and doing all rock festivals back in the day, and we got really friendly with them. We first met them at Big Day Out Festival in Australia, New Zealand. That would have been in 2008, I think it was, something like that. And we got really mates, became good mates with them back then. So, and we just asked Matt if he'd want to come and do some screaming on one of our tunes, and he did.
So. I guess the other thing as well is being both Welshmen, you could kind of be like, come on, mate, do us a favor. Like, pull me Welsh favors.
Yeah, those Bridge End lads.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's not the first time that you've kind of collabed with different bands and stuff. I remember, obviously, you've done a song with In Flames, Self Versus Self, and things like that.
We did in Ali Pali as well.
Yes, you did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. See, it's just making me jealous that I didn't go to the show, which really is damn normal life and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask as well, where is the strangest place or the most unusual place you've played a show, either with Pendulum or as a guitarist in general?
Oh God, that's easy. That's we did the Trinity thing that I was talking about. We did a gig in a fort in the ocean, in the sea, in the Solent. For those of you who don't know what the Solent is the bit of sea between Portsmouth and the Isle of Wight.
Right.
Amazing. So, so back in 2021, I think it was, we did a Pendulum Trinity gig on the fort in the sea. That's on YouTube, so you can check it out there. So yeah, that's the weirdest place, because this fort is tiny, and so we had loads of drones around us, and so in the ocean, that is the weirdest place.
I mean, you can't get much better than in the ocean. That's amazing.
We kept the fish and the crustaceans away.
And that's so a question I like to ask as well, and it's something that I've asked every guest that's been on this podcast since 2023, and that is, what if I was to create a dream festival, right, and invite Pendulum to play and invite all the bands that's ever played and performed on the podcast to come down, I'm asking, what would you have on the rider? What would you like? And so it can be as outlandish as you like. For example, I've had a guitarist of a band say to me he wants a whole petting zoo to be part of the thing. So you can be outlandish as you like. What would you like?
I mean, a petting zoo, but it's gonna stink as shit. So you don't want that in your dressing room. You want your dressing room to smell nice.
Absolutely.
Maybe a petting zoo outside. I love animals. But I don't want them in my dressing room. I'd have them outside so they can do their business outside. But we're quite straightforward and quite normal with our riders. I mean, you can get outlandish stuff, but the best ones are always when you get really good food and really good drink. Good stuff, not quantity, quality.
Quality, then, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you eat something nice in a nice restaurant, you go, oh my God, somebody made this and they really cared about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's very rare in festivals that you do get that, because obviously you're in the field. In certain festivals, you know, if you're really lucky, you get some food that is just top notch. But I always just like a really nice bottle of wine to be there when I come off stage, you know.
Are you a red or a white or a rosé?
Red.
Red, amazing.
Nice. I'm a proper wine drinker. because we've, it's nice to come off stage and there's something good there for you.
Yeah,
you
know, of course.
Like, yeah, you go, oh, you just come off stage, you're on a high.
Yeah.
You don't want to be drinking slop because
it
tastes like shit. That's gonna bring the mood right down.
Yeah,
a very good bottle of Burgundy or something. Yeah, not Burgundy, Bordeaux, and mm-hmm. a nice San Emilion or something like, or a Pomerol. You know, something nice. Very, very good. Sometimes we get that, sometimes we don't. But when it does happen, we're like, yeah,
lovely stuff.
Yeah, because a very good bottle of wine. So yeah, or even better, two. You know, because we're all in the band, like a nice glass of wine. So
I'm going to ask you a question, and don't feel the need to dig anyone out if you don't want to. But What is a strange fact about either yourself or a bandmate that the internet doesn't know, and something you wouldn't expect?
I played the pedal steel guitar.
You played the pedal steel guitar?
Yeah.
Nice. I love that.
Actually, it's there.
Oh, yeah. Nice. If you watch on some YouTube, there you go. You can see the box of the pedal steel guitar. I love that. Perry, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. I have one final question for you before I let you go on this lovely Friday. And that is simply, what is the best thing about being a guitarist / being in a band, in your opinion?
It's the best job in the world. And I'm very lucky that I get to do it. Not many people get to be in my position, this privileged position of being in a successful band. It's just being in the band itself, you know, because it's, yeah, it's just being on stage, being on a big stage, you know,
and
playing to people, you know. I do count myself very, very lucky that I get to do that. I know that, as I said, it's a very privileged position to be in. And I wouldn't change it for the world. It's amazing, you know. And being able to travel all over the world to do it, you know, because being on stage is the best thing you can do, basically, work-wise. You know,
absolutely. That's
with family, put your family to one side for a minute, and kids, and blah blah blah. It's the best thing that you can do, and you know, the buzz that you get from that is just insane. It's better than any drug, any booze, any alcohol. You know, it's the best buzz. That endorphin buzz that you get when you're on stage is second to none. It's amazing.
I love that. Is there anything you'd like to say at the end? Anything to plug? Anything I've missed? Anything you want to add at the end?
We'd be playing some festivals over the summer.
check
our Instagram. They're all up there, I think. You know, we're doing a bunch of ones in UK and Europe over the summer. Come and see us play. And there'll be some new music out soon. So listen to that.
Amazing stuff. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for your time, sir. It's been an absolute pleasure of mine. I cannot believe we've sat and done this. So thank you. It's genuinely awesome.
Cool. Man.
Right. We will catch everyone next time on the Nevermind Poly Podcast. See you all soon. Peace.